You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
And so I'm honored and excited this morning to invite to our podium here at camp is Isaac Hussins from Cedartown, Georgia.
Settle down. It's okay. I'm here. Well, I only hope that I can live up to that clap. Okay, well, first off, she said that my name is Isaac Hussins. That's correct. I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way. I'm not at all a good public speaker, so just go ahead and keep that in mind. I'm also going to go ahead and say that I'm not up here to preach, I'm not up here to teach, I'm just up here to talk, because I feel like I'm not really qualified to do that. But I will say that if you don't like this message, just know that I was planning on preaching the thing that he preached last night, but somehow he caught up to me. I don't know what it was. So if you don't like this message or don't like what I'm about to say, just, man, I preached a good one last night, I tell you. But like I said, I'm not preaching. That was a joke, obviously. I'm just up here to talk. First off, I'm up here for two reasons. One, last year I was asked to talk, and I said no because, like I said, I'm a terrible, terrible public speaker. But when I was here last year, it kept eating me up for some reason. And I was like, man, I feel like I should have talked. I don't know why I didn't talk. And then actually, the same exact day that we left, I was on the bus, and I actually messaged Miss Lisa and asked her if I could talk. Unfortunately, she remembered after all these months, so, yeah. No, the truth is, I'm honored to speak. As some of you know, this is my last year at camp. It's sad, but it's also very, very exciting. I just graduated from high school. So it's on to bigger and better things now. Yeah. But let's see. Being in camp for all these years, I mean, like she said, I've known about this place for a very long time, way before I was old enough to even come. And I'd watch my brothers go and pack their bags, and I'd sit at home, and secretly I'd have a bag packed out, and I'm just like, just in case they ask me to go, I'm ready. But I've been here a couple of times, peeked my head in, stayed with my dad while everyone else camped down there. But the point of this is to say, over the years, I've experienced lots of different things at youth camp, and honestly, multiple times, on several occasions, more than I can explain, this place has saved my life more ways than I can explain. And I just want to personally say thank you to everyone that makes this camp possible, because it's literally like it's literally saved my life a couple of times that I can think of, and I don't know what I'd do without it. Yeah, so with all of that being said, one more. I'm a huge, huge, huge Disney fan, so Has anyone in here not seen The Lion King? And that's the problem with America. Yep. Okay. I'm just kidding. You do need to see it though, because it's one of the best movies I've ever seen. It's awesome. It's got a message, and it's Disney, so boom. But I love The Lion King, and I'm sure you guys. I mean, we're at a Lion King youth conference, so you guys probably know everything that happens anyway, but lots of spoilers up ahead. But some people have already talked into this, but you guys know the story. There was a lion cub, his father is king, and he had this entire life planned for his life. He knew he wanted it, he just couldn't wait to be king, and then somewhere along the way, he was forced to believe that something else wasn't true in his life. He was put into lies, and he believed them. I mean, he was forced to. Absolutely one of the most depressing parts of the movie, obviously. Everyone that's seen the movie cries. He's been forced into these lies of believing that he is the one that killed his father, killed the king. So he's forced to run away. He's pushed away. And I don't know. I love the story because I guess really it shows that there's always a way to come home. I know lots of times people talk about grace, people talk about you can always come home, but I don't think we really understand the grasp of that, the depth. And I've realized this because I've actually had chances over the past 2 years to spend some time with some other youth groups, and it's evident with them because you can see that they don't really fully grasp lots of things, and I know I don't. That's why I'm up here talking and not preaching, not teaching, because I know I'll have a lot of stuff to have a lot of stuff to learn. I gotta do some. Woo! Okay. Didn't mean for that to be in the microphone. But when I think of the Lion King, I feel like I probably should talk somewhat, bring the Bible involved a little bit. And I feel like one of the key points in the Lion King is the story of the prodigal son, which I'm sure a lot of you have learned. It's one of my favorite stories because I'm a strong believer in no matter what you do, you can always find your way back to your roots, find your way back to foundation. So Luke 15, 11 through 24 is a story of the prodigal son. I'm not sure, I still haven't decided if I'm going to read it or not. I don't like reading. It's basically about a father who has two sons. He splits his estate between his two sons. And the younger son takes all of the stuff that his father gives him, and he runs away, runs far, far away into a distant country, and decides to spend all of it. And then, after he spent all of it, a huge famine comes across the land, and he loses everything. So then he's stuck with nothing. He was riches, and he turned to rags, just like that. And he was lost, and he was scared, and he had nothing to do. He couldn't eat. And the story actually talks about how he goes and finds a job, and there was barely any jobs around because the famine hit. So they put him to work to go feed the pigs out somewhere far, far away. Speaking from Star Wars last year. ding! Okay. There it is. But it also talks about he's so hungry that he says that he longs for the pig food. He wants it because he knows... Oh my God, thank you. You are so sweet. Oh, look at there. It's up there. That's impressive. Okay. I'll read a little bit, I guess. Yeah, I am. Okay, I don't know where it is, but I'm just going to jump in right here. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be a citizen of that country, who then sent him to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against you and heaven, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he gets up and he goes to his father, expecting what? You know what he's expecting? He's expecting, you know, to be cast away, he was going to be made something else. So he finally gets the courage to go back because he's gotten tired of eating pig food. He's tired of it. There's no more of that. And just like the Lion King, Simba runs away. He's forced to run away. It's a little bit different, but you can get it. He's forced to run away, and here he comes, and he meets Timon and Pumbaa, who teach him that it tastes just like chicken. They pick up bugs and all this stuff, but he obviously is like, oh my God, that's bugs. I mean, I'm not used to eating that. He's used to eating royalty. And he's forced away from that because he believes that something that he did wrong, he has to run away. He's no longer welcome in the place that he was grew up in, the environment. So just like the prodigal son, or not just like it, but in the story of the Lion King, it's not until he finds Rafiki, and Rafiki tells him, look into that water. Look into it. And he goes over there, and he's expecting to see his father, who has passed away for quite some time, and he's had this guilt on him for so, so long because he feels like he's the one that did this to his father. He's no longer welcome. So he goes, and he looks in the water, and he's disappointed. He says, no, that's not me. That's not my father. That's just my reflection. And I'm sure anybody that's seen The Lion King knows, what does Rafiki say?
Look hard.
Look hard. So what he does is he looks one more time, and there's a dimple in the water, and suddenly you don't see his reflection anymore. He sees Mufasa.
Yeah.
Now that by itself is just like, touches me every time. It's just like, man, this movie's so good. Why can't all movies be like that? Exactly. So sad. I tend to go on and on. But he sees the reflection, and he starts to see himself inside of Mufasa. He sees who he truly was. And all of a sudden, he goes back, and it goes into this giant field, and then Mufasa comes to him in the clouds, and he says, have you forgotten me? He says, no, no, how could I? How could I forget you? And he says, where you are right now is not near where you're supposed to be. Now, obviously, that's out of context, but, you know, I can't quote the movie. I just love the movie. But he tells him where he's supposed to be is far greater than where he is. You're not supposed to be eating pig food. You're supposed to be eating the food of royalty. You're supposed to eat the fattened calf. You're supposed to be full. But here you are, and you're eating pig food. You're eating bugs. I mean, you're not supposed to be there. And like Simba, it's so hard or so easy to fall under these lies that some people place on your lives and even circumstances. It's not even people in general, it's just circumstances. Sometimes it's not anything but circumstances or situations. But it's so hard to fall under this thing where, you know what, no, I'm not good enough. I should back away. This is not for me. But the truth is, you are. I mean, it's not until you look into the mirror and see yourself as who you are. You are royalty. You're not rags. So he's forced into this thing of saying, I'm rags and not riches because of what I've done. But the truth is, you can always find your way back home. So that's what he does. He gets the truth knocked out of him, literally. So he decides to run back home and take his rightful place as king. Now, going back to the prodigal son, what he does, which you could have guessed, he decides to go back. So he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and what? He was filled with compassion for him. Yeah. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Now, did he just say, let's go get some pig food?
No.
Nope. You know why? Because he's not supposed to be eating that. I mean, he's where he's supposed to be right then and there. And he's always able to be back there. There was no way that, I mean, his... The son, I don't, maybe it touches me a little bit more than it touches you, only because it's just a story of how you can always come back no matter what you do, no matter what. It doesn't matter. Like you could go into specifics, I mean, you don't do this, don't do this, but the truth is, it doesn't matter what it is. You're always welcome to come back home. And honestly, we're all lucky to be able to sit in this place right now, because this place... It It welcomes the idea of being creative. It welcomes the idea of being who you are, no matter what. And a lot of times it's easy to let go of that and get out somewhere else, and then, especially when you get in the real world, but that's why you have these places to strengthen you and to move you in the right direction, to strengthen you. let me see where I am here. Maybe bullet points doesn't work for me. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like I said, over the past 2 years, I've been able to experience some things with other youth groups and can just see the fact that you're lucky. I'm lucky. I'm so honored to be able to come to this place and just be able to do whatever I want to do and be able to do it through the church. Be able to do it through home, because I consider this place my home. It's a place where I can be anything that I want to be, and it's welcomed. I mean, like I said, it doesn't seem like much to me. That's just, maybe I can't speak on the depth of it because it is so deep. It's deeper than the deepest swimmer, you know. You know, it's hard to go all the way down there, but the truth is, it is, since I have been here for a very long time, it's something that it's probably one of the biggest pieces of advice that I can give to someone who's just kind of coming up or someone that's younger, is the fact that no matter what you do, you can always come home. Home is a place of refuge. It's a place where you can do anything and be safe. It's a place of safety. It's a place of being who you are through Him. And that's not saying because say you want to be an actor. I mean, Christian's huge in the theater. He wants to be an actor. That's fantastic. That doesn't mean that he has to be in a whole bunch of theater productions that are just God. That means that he exemplifies, he becomes God through the way that he portrays his character. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean, just because you want to be an actor doesn't mean that you have to be stuck in, oh my gosh, the Bible says this. Like, that's not, you, what, I don't really know how to say what I'm saying, but I love it. I didn't script anything, and I'm terrible at public speaking because, like I said, the bullet points doesn't do anything for me. I just like, what does that mean? I don't know. It's just, you're darn right. You got that right. You got that right. Yeah, translator. It's just, always be able to look into the reflection and see yourself as who you truly are. Don't look in the reflection and see guilt. Don't see reflection and see depression. Don't look into the mirror and see anything other than royalty, because that's what you are. You know why you're royalty? Because he's royalty. That's why. And you can't let the actions of others determine what you do. That's not who you are. This is open. And it's very convenient. I appreciate that. God knew I was hot up here. And I am cool now. I can give that to you. Okay, well, I've been speaking way too long because I promised myself I would not be my father. So I'm going to... I'm just kidding. I love my father to death. But sometimes I get hungry in service, so... Wow. I guess the point is, I mean, I've already said it multiple times, you know, when you look in the mirror, be able to see yourself as who you truly are, and know that when you do look in the mirror and you do see the guilt and you do see other things that aren't who you truly are, know that just because you see those things doesn't mean that you have to keep portraying them, I guess. You know, I mean, the story of the prodigal son, he realized that this isn't where he was supposed to be. He realized what he did wrong, that he went off and spent all these things, and he was eating pig food. And then suddenly he said to himself, I'm tired of eating pig food. That's not what I'm supposed to be doing. So he goes back home, and he's able to be where he's supposed to be. And, I mean, I guess that's basically the point of what I was going to say. Should have took this passcode off. but, you know, you are royalty. I mean, you are who you are, and that's a good thing. Always be who you are, and always make sure that you can be under a house like this who's okay with you being like that. And lastly, like I said, this is my last year, but it's also, while I'm up here as a recharged member, which, not bashing any other youth groups, I love every single one of you in here, but I'm extremely, extremely sad to say that after I come back, I will no longer be a part of Recharged, because I've reached my limit, but I love everybody in this group. I think they're the best youth group I could possibly ever imagine being with, and I love all of you guys too. All of you guys, all the dances have been fantastic. Just, I love you guys. I've experienced lots of different things with you. There. And it's tough to say bye for the last time to this place, but I just want you to know that it's touched me, and I don't know. I can always come home. There you go. I guess that's it, because I don't wanna cry. I'm just getting teary. I'm just gonna stop right there. That's it. Thank you.
Awesome job. I think he's quite a public speaker, don't you think? Or should we just say an anointed man of God? Amen. Awesome job. Next up to share with you this morning, we have Kirsten Bowie from Benson First Assembly.
All right, so I've never done anything like this before, so I'm nervous. So I'm going to fidget. I'm sorry. My original plan was, I'm going second. Hopefully the first person won't be so, like, good so that mine will look better. That plan's out the window. So let's just see what we got. So I have notes that I don't know how well I'm going to follow. I don't know what's happening. All right. So since Sunday night, I had this thing like pop in my head. I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. Somebody should really talk about that. And so I told my Aunt Terry right here, and she told Pastor Lisa. And then I found out yesterday that person is going to be me, which I did not plan. never mind. Then it just happened. Okay. Well, I don't really have any scriptures. I don't really read well. So I'm not going to really preach about the Bible. I'm preaching about the Lion King. Yay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess I'm just going to dive into it. I don't know how to ease into things. I guess the first scene that I really want to talk about is when Simba wakes up Mufasa and is like, come on, Dad, you promised me that you're going to take me to see the kingdom. And he's like, oh, no, go away. I don't want to listen to you right now. But then he's like, okay, fine, we'll go out. And so they sit down, and like sun's rising, all that stuff, and they're like, look out there, Simba. Everything the light touches is our kingdom. Yep. And then Simba's like, well, what about that dark part over there? What is that? He's like, that's the Outlands. You should never go there. So what I was thinking was, what if Mufasa's God, and what if Simba is us? And God takes us out to see the kingdom, and he's like, my child, look out there. Everything that my light touches is our kingdom. Yes. And we're like, oh, that's so cool, but what about that dark part over there? And they're like, that's doubt, and you must never go there. Because once you start to doubt, then you will never have the true inheritance that is rightfully yours. And in the movie, Simba, you know, Mufasa dies, he thinks it's his fault, blah, 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 blah. not that that's not important or anything. It's just because of that he begins to doubt. People are like, oh, you're the rightful king. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm not. And Rafiki's like, oh, you're the king. And he's like, no, you got the wrong guy. That's not me. It's not. And so Rafiki's like, oh, you're Mufasa's boy. And then he's like, what? And he goes after him because Rafiki decides running away is the best idea. I don't know. But throughout that, because he doubted it, he ran away. He could not gain what was rightfully his. He couldn't have the kingdom because he doubted that it was his. And, I mean, honestly, I'm very doubtful. I don't, like, sometimes with things about God, I still doubt. I doubted last night when they were like, oh, yeah, praying over people. I was like, yeah, I'm going to pray over people. And then I looked at my right arm. And for those of you who don't know, I have carpal tunnel up to my shoulder. I have to get surgery, so that's fun. So I just have this constant pain throughout my arm, and I was, like, praying, and I was like, how come I can, like, pray and heal, like, through people, like, with God, with such a broken arm, with such something that's so not healed or something? How can this actually happen? I was like, wait a second. God's doing it, so it's not my arm that's broken. So that was, yeah. People are saying, wow, that's good. but, okay, funny. but Simba also is very doubtful from the very beginning when he's a cub. Because, you know, he gets in trouble. And Mufasa's like, okay, we're going to go and you're going to get in trouble. Or, like, that's what it made it seem like. Because he was, like, walking. And then Simba's like, okay, I'll go along because I know I'm going to get yelled at. Because he got in trouble because he went to the Outlands where he shouldn't belong. And Mufasa steps down and keeps going. Simba steps in Mufasa's paw print and looks at it, and he sees his own paw print. It's, like, really miniature compared to Mufasa's. And he's like, wow, how in the world am I ever going to fit this?
Yeah, come on.
How in the world am I ever going to fit into this paw print? How am I going to fill these shoes? Yeah. I don't know how. So he was already doubting in the very beginning. But if you just keep going back, eventually he lost his doubt. He was like, you know what? I am the rightful king. And he goes back. And that's not saying that doubt is terrible or anything. I still do it too. It just happens, exactly. The next part that I really wanted to talk about is another scene, is the elephant graveyard. He's like, oh, you know, that's the Outlands. I'm going to go there because Dad said not to, because that's a good idea. I'm going to show him that I can do whatever I want and that I'm the best. So he goes out, and he's like, yeah, elephant graveyard and, like, all this stuff. And Nala's like, well, we shouldn't really do this. It's kind of dangerous. And then Simba's like, I laugh in the face of danger. Ha, ha, ha. And then hyenas come and start laughing, too. Like, oh, yeah, that's funny. Except that now you're going to die. Because he ended up going into a place like, I can do this on my own. I don't need any help. I don't need Dad to save me. I can show Dad that I have got this. And then he gets in a lot more trouble than what he originally anticipated. He, like, nearly killed himself, Nala, and Zazu. Yep. Yeah. But then he tries to, like, scare off the hyenas. He tries roaring. He tries roaring again, and it doesn't work. They just start laughing at him. And then he, like, roars, only his dad is overshadowing it, and Dad came in to save the day. Kind of like if we're doing stuff on our own, we're like, oh, this is just something small. It's okay. I don't need anybody to help me with this. I don't need God, because this is just a really, really small problem. I can handle it. And then that really small problem turns into a giant one. And we don't know what to do. And then Dad comes in and saves the day. So that's about all I have. Yay!
Great job. I don't know about you guys, but I think they're working us right out of a job. And I'm pretty happy about that. Amen. You good? Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you, Kirsten, for sharing your heart with us today. Incredible words. You heard from the Lord today. Amen. You heard from the Lord today. Hallelujah. Schedule was normal today. We will try to do our team songs before evening service tonight. If you're interested in the baptism, let me know after service, okay? Father, we thank Thee with bowed heads for this our daily bread.